phew. Because he's trying to kill off the mission, you know. And the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy if he can. But God didn't let him, and God got the glory. Amen. But I have asked the Lord that we maybe could not have any more this year, if that's possible. It's not good for the old ticker. So quickly, if we could just have my... I'm going to teach you about you guys about apprehending heaven. The problem the church has is we've tried to comprehend heaven, comprehend the kingdom of heaven, rather than what we're supposed to do, which is apprehend it. We're supposed to grab it. When you're apprehended for a crime, what happens? The policeman reads you your rights, he slaps on the handcuffs, and he takes you away and locks you in a cell. That's to be apprehended. Okay? It means to take hold of something, to grab it, to seize it. But as a church, through the years, we've tried to comprehend what we're supposed to apprehend. We've tried to understand something that we're supposed to just grab. And that's been the problem. And it was a problem in Jesus' day. That's why Jesus kept saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like. He was trying to give them some clues as to what it was like. But what he really wanted was them to grab it. Because he said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And violent people grab hold of it and take it by storm. Okay, so we're going to just, rather than have a healing meeting where you come forward for healing, isn't it better that you understand how to apprehend, to grab your own healing? Rather than have a meeting where we pray for prosperity, which is a good thing to do, it's not a bad thing, why don't you just understand that you need to apprehend prosperity? Yeah? And all the things that come from heaven are things that have to be grabbed and apprehended. And it doesn't really matter if we don't fully comprehend. In fact, you won't fully comprehend. You won't ever fully comprehend heaven until you get there. It's like two twins in the womb trying to work out from the womb what it's like after they've been born. They're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. They're going to have some clues because they'll hear things through the womb. They'll get clues, but they're never really going to comprehend something until you're there. But we can apprehend. We can grab hold of the things of heaven and make them ours. Hebrews 11. Oop. What's happened there? A technical problem has occurred. Starting again.
F5, Jess.
Thank you. So, Hebrews 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Whoa, it's done it again. No, I don't want to do that. I want him to do it. That's why I don't want to do it, Jill. Can we start again, please, Jess? Thanks, mate. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. What we do not see, okay? The Bible's clear. We don't see it, but we have assurance of it. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is made out of what was not visible. So that what is seen was not made out of that what was visible. That's an awkward way of just saying what's seen comes out of what's not seen, isn't it? Why can't they just say that? Who translated that? It wasn't me. Okay. So everything that you're going to apprehend and you're going to have in your life, prosperity, healing, all the things that are your birthright once you've been born again, are things... All the things that you're going to see that Annette saw in her life, that she's just related to you, are going to come from the unseen. And they're going to come through faith. Okay? That's how it works. If you don't like it working that way, if you like to have the proof of the pudding before the eating and all that, you're in the wrong business. That's not how God works. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Oh, that's a good one to start with, isn't it? So that all the atheists are in trouble there straight away. You first of all have to believe that he exists. And it's not enough just to believe he exists. Satan believes he exists. It's not enough. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's the key to apprehending the things of heaven. To earnestly seek after the Lord. Next slide, please. Thank you. Look at the emphasis in this next scripture about healing. Is anyone among you in trouble? Has anyone got trouble? Anyone got trouble? I have troubles. Anybody else? Okay. Let them pray. Is anyone happy? I'm happy. Let them sing songs of praise. That's what we were doing earlier. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So if you're sick, the emphasis is on you. If you're sick, the emphasis is on you. I mean, how many people just sit at home and say, oh, I'm ill, oh, you know, but they do nothing about it. They don't pray about it. They don't come to the Lord about it. How many times do people come to you, John, and ask to be anointed with oil? Does that happen often? It does it? That's good. Don't happen very often in our church. Maybe I should be preaching this at our church. It's good when they do, because the emphasis is on you to apprehend, to grab a hold of the things of heaven. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So, look, all your prayers are powerful and effective because you've been made righteous through Jesus. It's only the prayer of a righteous person, but we're all made righteous through Jesus. So, all our prayers should be powerful and effective. It's just a matter of grabbing hold of that thing that you've been grabbed hold of for, the kingdom of heaven. Right, next. Checking the time. Now, this is again going back to comprehending and apprehending. For in Hebrews it tells us about the tabernacle being a model of the of heaven. So what Moses did when he set up the tabernacle in the desert, and all to do with the law and all the Levitical, how you do this and how you do that, it was all supposed to be a model of how things are done in heaven. It was trying to show people how things are done, so they could have some sort of understanding, although we can't fully understand. And it's the same with Jesus. When Jesus was given all his parables, it always started, the kingdom of heaven is like. So he's trying to give a model for how heaven works. And this is exactly the same. For there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Okay, right, next one. This is really interesting, this next bit. This jumped out at me when I was preparing this, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. The Lord said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons and all the Israelites and say to them, if any of you, whether an Israelite or a foreigner residing in Israel, presents a gift for a burnt offering to the Lord, either to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering, you must present a male without defect from the cattle, sheep or goats, in order that it may be accepted on your behalf. Do not bring anything with a defect, because it will not be accepted on your behalf. That's interesting. That's a model of how heaven works. No defects. If you have a defect, either in your pocket, your poverty, or you have a defect in your health, or a defect in a situation, there isn't any defect in heaven. This is the model. That's why you could only offer sacrifices of animals that had no defect, because it's a model of heaven, and there are no defects in heaven. Do you get it? So if we have defects, we need to take our case to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm ill. And we need to apprehend the thing of heaven, which is healing. Lord, I don't have the finance or the resource for this thing that you have called me to do. And it comes. I can tell you that it does. If God has commanded it to be done, don't worry about the money, because it will come. I just want to warn you, though, sometimes it does leave it a little bit late. Do you know what I mean? He just does that just to keep you on your toes. It sometimes arrives at the very last minute, but it always arrives. When anyone brings from the herd or the flock a fellowship offering to the Lord to fulfill a special vow, or as a freewill offering, it must be without defect or blemish to be acceptable. Do not offer to the Lord the blind, the injured, the maimed, anything with warts or festering or running sores. Do not place any of these on the altar as food offerings presented to the Lord. So in heaven, nobody's blind. In heaven, do you know, I've heard this story being told. Few people who've had visions of heaven or they've been to heaven, near-death experiences. Nobody wears spectacles in heaven. In it, I'm just looking around. There's a few spectacles here and I have to wear them to read. Not in heaven. Nobody's old in heaven. Everyone's in the prime of life. Isn't it? No one has festering or running sores in heaven. No one's maimed in heaven or missing legs or other bits or bobs. And that's why the Lord God gave this law through Moses to the Israelites, because it's a model of what happens in heaven. Do you see? And we are told to apprehend, to grab hold of the things of heaven and to make them part of our life. Look at this, though. Look at this last verse here. You must not offer to the Lord any animal whose testicles are bruised, or crushed, or torn, or cut. That just leapt out at me, that did. Can do the next slide, please. Look at that. There it is. I'm thinking, Lord, what are you saying? And what do we know about the testicles? It carries a seed. It's the creative organ. Our sexual organs are how we recreate. And what he's saying is, do you know what? I'm a creative God. And in heaven, you're going to create and recreate. I don't know how that's going to work because there's no marriage there. But it is. It's going to be like that. How is that going to... And now, I defy you to understand that. You can't understand it, can you? But you can apprehend it. You can grab a hold of it. We're going to... And I love creating. And the news that I'm going to be doing creative things in heaven is great. And Jesus is everything was created through Jesus, and he did it at the word of the Father. And it's just going to carry on. And we're going to have work to do there. Now, how does that pan out? Are we going to have work to do there when it's also described as his rest? You can't comprehend that, can you? You can't work that out. But I know one thing I will be resting from when I get to heaven, attacks of the evil one. I'll be resting from that. That's going to be a joy. It really is going to. That's going to be a load off, isn't it? That's going to be great. So, in short, we have to, and this is all of us, grab hold of the things of heaven. Your healing is up to you. It's there waiting for you in heaven, because there's no defect in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. But it's up to you to grab a hold of it. It's, you know, the emphasis that we saw in that earlier scripture is on you. You know, you can just sit where you are and carry on with religion if you want to, but it won't do you any good. These things only work when we put them into practice. I had, when Annette was really badly with diabetes, I had a complete conviction in my heart that she was going to be healed. And I need that. I'm the sort of person who needs something to hang, a coat peg, if you like, to hang faith on. It might be a word, a logos word that I read in the Bible. It might be a rhema word that the Lord's given me. But I need that. Otherwise, I don't have the faith. But once I have it, I have the faith. But I thought he was going to heal her gradually, which is why it was such a shock when her blood sugar just kept going lower and lower, because he actually healed her instantly. If you read up on type 1 diabetes, there's no known cure because it's an autoimmune disease. What happens is you get a virus and your body attacks the virus, your immune system, and by mistake it's fooled into attacking the insulin producing cells, and it kills the pancreas, it kills them off. That's why there's no cure for it, because it just kills it. And instantly God gave her a whole new pancreas, just brand new like that. Now, because there isn't any autoimmune disease in heaven. And we have to appropriate and bring into our lives the things of heaven rather than the things of this world. There's sickness in the world. There's disease in the world. But, you know, and we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to be of that other place, of heaven. Until we get there, we need to grab as much of it as we can and stuff our lives with as much of it as we can. So it overflows, so that other people can say, oh, I want some of that. Otherwise, we've got no witness, isn't it? We've got no witness if we don't stuff our lives full of the things of heaven. And that's really what I want to say to you today. Stuff your lives full of the things of heaven. I'm going to pray for us and hand back to John. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who lives in heaven, but you also live in us. Thank you, Lord, that there's no defect in heaven. And so as much as we allow you to live in us, there's no defect in us. And you don't see us with defects. Our sins are washed away. Our sins are washed away. And you are our healer. And you are our provider. And you are the one who has everything we need. We just need to come to you, Daddy, and say, Daddy, I need this. I need that. I need to be close to you. Lord Jesus, just bless your people here and let them take away that message that they need to apprehend, to grab hold of the things of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Tim and Annette, for